Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project that's going to create a lot of jobs for Alaskans, and we'll have a lot of energy flowing through here. And pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that. You guys are all a bunch of cool-looking Christians also. Ben, I don't know you well yet, but looking at you, I'm thinking people are going to be interested in Jesus Christ through you because of the way you look. This red-headed Sasquatch for Jesus. You look good. Times are really changing.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times, they are changing.
I haven't smoked a joint in 30 years, but I'm considering taking it up again. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I have never seen political cross-dressing like this in my life. If someone had told me in the 1960s that I'd be witnessing these non-entity nobodies running for office, I would say you're crazy. If someone had said there would have been a left-wing revolution, maybe. If someone would have said there would have been a military coup in America by now, maybe. But to think that an unknown hack like this, or an unknown hack like Obama, is running for the presidency is beyond my wildest imagination, and I have quite an imagination. So let's go back to Bob Dylan, because when I hear that harmonica, something happens within me. And as I say, I haven't smoked a joint in 30 years, but I'm considering it. I'm considering pulling the cap down over my head and disappearing from the stage of politics, because I can't take another day of this garbage.
And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
The loser now will be later the winner. Yeah, you talk about one of the great American poets. It wasn't Walt Whitman, it was Bob Dylan. Now, where shall I begin? Shall I discuss political cross-dressing? Yeah, I think I'll discuss political cross-dressing, which is the theme of today's program on the Savage Nation. And we've posted political cross-dressing, today's theme, on michaelsavage.com. And I will tell you what I have to say about political cross-dressing. I think you've seen by now that the Democrat Party and the Republican Party serve no other purpose than the accumulation of their own power. Now, there was a time when the Democrats stood for true civil rights. That time is long past. There was a day when the Republicans stood for borders, language, and culture, but that day, too, is over. Since Sarah Palin has been selected as John McCain's running mate, the Democrats have developed overnight a deep concern over the propriety of teenage motherhood. And at the same time, the Republicans have said that if you question whether teenage motherhood is good for America, you must be a sexist. In 24 hours, the Republicans discarded 150 years of morality because they think it will help them gain power. In a single day, the Democrats have discovered morality because they think it will help them take the Republicans down. It's the most absurd display of political madness our country has ever seen. Now, the two-party system is morally bankrupt. Here's what our founding father, George Washington, had to say about the two-party system, not what Michael Savage said. Listen carefully to what the genius of geniuses, the man who gave us this great nation, one of the great minds in the history of mankind, George Washington, said this. He said the two-party system serves to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms. It kindles the animosity of one against another. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another. Close quote. Over 200 years ago, George Washington, our first president, knew that we would come to this point. So please don't pretend that your party is fighting power for principle. They're fighting principally for power. This is Michael Savage, and I approve of the monologue. Go back to Bob Dylan. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-MichaelSavage.com. 1-800-449-8255.
Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Unbelievable, man. Just unbelievable. I wish I could turn the clock back. I wish you could come back in time with me 30 years and understand what I'm saying to you. Because this old bird, Michael Savage, has been around some. And I'm telling you, I have never seen such garbage in my life being fed us as the truth. And you know what? I can't be the only one seeing. Here's an article that we found today from one of the newspapers. A sheriff in Butler County, I think that's in Texas, said that he would rather watch paint dry than attend the John McCain fundraiser. Senator John McCain visited Liberty Township for a Thursday fundraiser, but a fellow Republican will not be in attendance. Butler County Sheriff Richard Jones took out a half-page newspaper ad blasting the presidential candidate's stance on illegal immigration and similar ads are planned for other Ohio and New York newspapers. I guess it's in Ohio. He said this. He said, before I'm a Republican, I'm an American, and this is an American issue, and I can say what I think, Jones said. In the ad, the sheriff asks McCain why voters hadn't heard his policy on illegal immigration, an issue about which Jones is particularly outspoken. He said, are you avoiding this American issue? In the ad, we are all ears. Jones wants the border sealed and illegal immigrants deported, and he said he feels McCain has sold out the Republican Party in the U.S. by remaining silent. Jones said, believe me, he won't discuss this issue at all. He doesn't want to talk about it at all, and I'm going to talk about it everywhere in Ohio. Campaign representatives said that McCain would secure the border as president, but the Arizona Republican believes there should be a comprehensive solution for illegal immigration. Well, I'll pause at that point. The sheriff concludes by saying, I'm not paying $5,000 to have my picture with McCain. I'm going to stay home and watch paint dry. However, Jones said he hadn't ruled out voting for McCain. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255 phone number. I have to go back now to an ancient Greek for you to get some context of where we are, because it has been written by a Spanish philosopher, Santayana, that those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. And I am telling many of you true believers out there that you are repeating history, but you don't even know what history you are repeating because you don't understand history to begin with. Many of you have such a poor education and can't think. You can't even think. You are just sheeple. And when the masters, the puppet masters, Democrat or Republican, bang the drum, you march in tune. You march in lockstep. I don't. And this is the toughest few days of my life. For me to have to stand up here and take the guff again from people who think that they are independent when they're not independent, they're just sheeple, is astounding to me. If you think this is easy for me, you are mistaken. You are really mistaken. So I had to go back to the politics of Aristotle to find out where we are, and I'll read it to you. And you'll find out where you are. If only you'll take a moment to read what every educated college student had to read until approximately 10 years ago. Every educated college student in political science, which you had to take, Poli-Sci 101, had to read Aristotle's Politics. In order to understand the current political system, you had to read at least this book in English. But since we have morons in government who don't even know who Aristotle is, they just want to know if he owns a pizzeria in Boston and if he can vote for him. They had never heard of Aristotle. They only want to know what kind of money Aristotle can shovel towards them. Here's what Aristotle said. He was writing about crime. and he was trying to postulate a perfect state, an ideal state in theory, meaning a great place to live, okay? And here's what he wrote. And he says, civil discord arises not only from inequality of property, but also from inequality of the offices which men hold. He said, the masses become revolutionary when the distribution of property is unequal. But listen to this one. Men of education become revolutionary when the distribution of office is equal. This is a point of the verse in Homer. Office and honor are one and the same for the good and the bad man. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get across to you. Men of education become revolutionary when the distribution of office is equal. Homer knew this. Aristotle knew this. But apparently you, the American people, don't understand what I've been trying to tell you. When I saw John McCain get off the plane today, and I watched that receiving line, all I could do was shake my head in wonderment. I said most of the people in that line looked like they were perps on the show Cops. I said, what has this come to? The man will spend time with unknown people, shaking hands, kissing babies, as though they're long-lost relatives, people he didn't even know as near as a day ago, 2 days ago. Now he spends more time with them than he will with the conservative base. Are you people out of your mind? Don't you understand what's going on here? And here are the questions for the Savage Nation. And before you attack me, remember, I am an American. I am not a Republican. I am an American. I am not a Republican. And I will not have you Republican apparatchiks who have been told to flood this show with your garbage think you're going to intimidate me. You work for the Republican Party. Don't think I don't know who you are. This is one man's opinion. And I am so fed up with the locksteppers that I'm going to keep it up. And here are the questions for the Savage Nation. Are you bewildered by the hysteria over these meaningless conventions? That means both Democrat and Republican. Have you ever seen such nonsense in your life? Were you shocked that George W. Bush did not appear live at the Republican convention? I've never seen this. He is not ill. He could have flown there. Why was he not there? Could it be because he's the most unpopular president in American history? What was your reaction to the way McCain greeted Sarah Palin and her family on the tarmac after his plane landed, if you watched it on TV? Did you have the same feeling I did that you were watching an episode of Cops? What's the most surprising thing that you've seen happen since McCain announced his VP choice? And what's your reaction to the demon cat suddenly being concerned about the propriety of teenage motherhood? This is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And here are some of the headlines on MichaelSavage.com if you don't want to talk about the convention or McCain or Obama or whatever her name is. Pardon me, I don't remember her name. One, feds say that the accused Pakistani who went to MIT had notes about a mass attack in America. The Democrats want to protect her. Okay? Number two, Savage book sales surpassed Pelosi project in week one. Psychological nudity, lead story from WorldNet Daily. Sheriff blasts McCain for silence and illegal immigration. Very important story, worth getting. Next story. Israeli Mossad let Nazi Mengele get away. That's right, as shocking as it sounds. Israeli Mossad let the Nazi Mengele, who conducted abominable, notorious death camp experiments on living people, get away, according to that story. Palin offers details about Troopergate. Going down the page. Oh, your good friends in North Korea? The whiskey-swilling, bimbo-loving, pot-bellied, lunatic Kim mentally ill Jong has reassembled his nuclear reactor. And he's apparently begun reassembling its Yongbyon nuclear reactor, able to make material for atomic bombs, in violation of U.S. conditions for improved diplomatic relations. That's right. The great George Bush sent tons of money, kissed his hand, said he's our friend, he's not going to do it, and he's doing it anyway. You know why he's doing it? Because he saw Putin just got away with it. He figures, why shouldn't he as well? I have other stories. I'll get back to you. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
If John McCain was another go-along partisan politician, he never would have led the fight to fix our broken immigration system or actually do something about global warming. But he did. As a matter of fact,
okay,
friends.
That's it for me. Do something about global warming. Do something about global warming. I told you the title of today's program is Political Cross-Dressing. Now, you want me to sit here and sit and salute? You must be crazy. I told you this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the tough get going. And that is when people start attacking you, even though you're right. If you can keep your head and all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. That's what it means. Oh, anybody could pretend that they're tough-minded and intriguing and independent-minded when everyone's agreeing with them. A year and a half or 2 years before, George Bush was seen for what he is, a big government president. Let's leave it on a pleasant level. Michael Savage was the only one in talk radio on the right side of the dial who told you that George Bush was a liberal. In fact, possibly the biggest liberal in American governmental history. I was roundly condemned. I was roundly attacked. Station operators were worried that I would lose my core audience. And they started to complain to my syndicator. They said, he can't say that about George Bush. He's the Republican president. And he said, look, I believe in freedom. Michael sees it that way. And about a year later, others started to criticize George Bush very slowly for good reason when they saw that this man was a complete and total sham and fraud. And so, therefore, taking an unpopular position is what makes you an independent. Anyone can take a popular opinion and call yourself an independent, but they belong in an apron in Duffy's Tavern. Anyone wants to call themselves independent and not be independent, good luck to them. But now here you have Senator Lieberman, a Democrat, thanking John McCain for being strong on a global warming. That's great. That's good. When we know global warming isn't caused by man, now we have a Republican who's convinced it is, and he's going to tax us to death in order to cure something that we had nothing to do with. Then to top it off, we have Hispanic Democrat Tommy Espinoza, CEO of Raza Development Fund, Inc. at the RNC. He's an Hispanic Democrat, but wait, you're not going to believe it. Listen to clip 15 quickly.
I was intrigued with this maverick congressman.
All right, we have to stop
Arizona.
Here. This Democrat says that he's proud to be the godfather of John and Cindy's son, Jimmy. And he also says, Viva John McCain, because he's going to give compassion to the illegal immigrant. What more do you want me to do? You want me to thank John McCain for selling the Republican Party down the drain?
Savage.
I'm writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Nobody in my life in the 60s could have predicted the low state of affairs in the political arena that we are witnessing. Now, it's one thing to recognize the low state of affairs on both sides of the aisle. It's another thing to see the hysteria being drummed up by the political parties and being taken as serious by the population. That is the astonishing part. I have a very low opinion of the average voter, but at this point I have a lower opinion than I've ever had of the average voter. I had no idea that people were this gullible. My dad used to tell me, and I'm going to repeat it whether you want to hear it or not, the Abe Lincoln adage. We'd walk in the streets. He was an immigrant, uneducated, but he was well-read. He continued to be well-read through his life. He was more intelligent on a natural basis than most of the men I ever met. He had a naturally high IQ, never went, I think, past whatever, grade school, couldn't afford it, had to work at 13. But he was a man who understood things because he came from a bad country, and he knew what a good country was. But he watched the political system, and I learned from him when I was as high as his knee, and he held my hand walking on Longfellow Avenue, and he said to me, Michael, remember this all your life. Abe Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. You know, I understood that immediately. And right now, I am telling you that you can't fool all of the people all of the time. I cannot believe so many of you are taking the bait. We understand Obama. We understand that he's a functionary of the daily political machine in Chicago. We understand that he has connections to far-left terrorists. We understand that his reverend right gave away the inner man. We understand all of that. But what? Because that is true, therefore the other side wear the white hats? Suddenly, they wear the white hats simply because he is what he is, the other guy? Are you people nuts? Now, I'm going to take your calls in a moment on the Savage Nation. Las Vegas, we'll start in Las Vegas. Judy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion on which subject, please.
Well, the whole political mess. First of all, I'm of your generation. Second of all, I'm ready to start smoking dope, too. Wait a minute.
I think in order to get through one more day of a convention, you'd have to become a pothead. The only way to do this is to make a paper hat out of some colorful paper and smoke a joint and watch these people.
Conventions. These are slap myself on the back because I'm pretty parties.
I don't know. I never paid much attention to any convention. Even going back to the Democrat convention in the 60s in Chicago, I thought it was absurd with the yippies and the hippies trying to levitate the Pentagon. I've always seen this as ludicrous, particularly the idiots in the street. But the lunatics in the street are not maybe one degree removed from the lunatics in the suits and ties.
You wonder who really has the inner action. However, people today do not learn history. Kids in school don't learn history. They learn revisionist crap.
Yes, but aren't the Republicans supposed to be the party of history and the party of civility and the party of morality and the party of family values? Isn't that what we were supposed to believe over the last number of years?
Don't you remember in the olden days when you and I were in school, a girl would disappear for 6 months and come back and have been at her aunt's in Nantucket or something?
Oh, yes. Hey, did you go to my high school? Where did all those girls go?
Oh, I went to high school in Houston. I'm an Air Force brat.
But I remember what you're saying. Yes, they didn't have abortions. They went to their aunt somewhere, had the baby, gave the baby up for adoption, and came back. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Well, today they don't have to disappear. They can just run for the presidency.
Well, and I think this abstinence-only education is the most ridiculous thing on the face of the earth. There's a rise in HIV. There's a rise in all the STDs. I'm a nurse. I look at those statistics. I am appalled. If my children behaved the way some of these people's children behave, I'd shoot myself rather than run for vice president.
Wow.
And frankly, I'm going to write.
So, in a way, now, are you a Republican or a Democrat, Judy?
I'm a human being.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Would you consider yourself a nationalist as I am?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. That's a yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So you're not happy with the cops lineup today as McCain got off the airplane?
I didn't see it. I was at a meeting. I took
a look. I thought I was watching Cops late at night and that the perps were on the runway.
Well,
I never saw anything like this. Where did all these people come from? Who ever heard of a presidential candidate shaking hands with unknown people that look like they came off a set from Cops?
Well, I don't know. Maybe
the man has no judgment. He doesn't know what he's doing.
My senator.
I'm sorry. He doesn't know what he's doing. Something's wrong with the picture, Judy. Assuming that both of them don't know what they're doing, I certainly would rather have McCain as commander-in-chief since he flew jets, and I have great respect for men who fly jets in combat. To me, they're in another category. Admittedly, that was quite a long while ago, and his war years, I have to put that ahead of everything. But the way he's behaving, I may as well come up with an adage. Old pilots never lose their wings. They just, and I won't fill that in. Old pilots never lose their wings. They just, well, let's go on. 1-800-449-8255. Is the phone number. How do you feel about all of this? How do you feel about all? Am I alone on this? You've got all the party hacks in Minnesota caught up with this whole celebration, and they're all supporting everything the Republican Party tells them to do, as though that is the truth. I don't believe that we have to go along with it. Now, Sarah Palin is the issue, and I will repeat to you again today, that because we are arguing over her, it means that she is controversial. And because she is controversial and we are arguing over her, it proves she has split the Republican ticket right down the middle. There's a great discord throughout the land on the side of the aisle that would have normally voted for McCain, even if they didn't want to. Right now, they're saying, are they kidding? Why this woman? Now, many of you are saying, well, wait a minute. She's a gun owner. Great. She's a this. Great, great. Check it all off. But that does not qualify her to be the vice president of the United States of America, in my opinion. Let me explain what I just said to you. I have a friend who's 69 years old, and he's an Army doctor in the reserves. But he's on active duty. He actually teaches the guys how to do field wounds and, you know, terrible things that happen to men in combat. He said to me last night, I called him, and I said, what do you think of this? He said, I'm an Army doctor. He said, if they came to me and said, you're going to be a general in 90 days, he said, I wouldn't take that position because I could not be a general. He said, I know what it is to be a general, and I can't be a general. I don't know enough to be a general. And he said to me, moreover, that a wise person knows their limitations. A wise person knows what they can do and what they cannot do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? There's something wrong with this picture. The natural choice would have been Romney. It would have been McCain slash Romney. They would have won. Something's wrong with the picture. Joe in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please. Your opinion counts.
Hi. I respect what you do. I don't always agree with you, but you do a very good job. And I'm glad that you got right to the subject I was going to cover. I know why McCain doesn't want Romney, because it would be like George Clooney picking Gary Cooper. They just can't stand together. He would be shown up. That's why the media was terrified of Romney,
because he's so telegenic. He's a natural leading man. He's like a Cary Grant. He'd be perfect as president. And they attacked him viciously because they know he would have smashed Obama into the Stone Age.
Oh, they were terrified of him. I'm under no illusions about him being a staunch conservative, but he was the best we had. And you know, no matter what you do, if you're running for office.
Joe, hold on. Since we agree on the Romney thing, then go back with me in time. Romney was ahead in the polls. McCain was a distant third. No one heard of him. He was given no chance. Everyone was ahead of McCain. Romney was way ahead. Then something happened in a back room in one of these southeastern states, and suddenly, lo and behold, Romney was out and McCain was in. What was that all about?
It was a fix from the beginning. That's why the little huckster there joined with him. They were all terrified of him. He probably wouldn't play games with. He probably wouldn't, agree with the game players. You know, he's probably too clean for them. And they said, look, this guy's got to go. He's not going to play the game.
So he wasn't enough of an old party guy for them to trust well enough. That is Romney.
It's my turn. And they said, all right, it's his turn. You know, you see it in politics all the time. If you stay there long enough, they put you where you want to be. He paid his dues. He was waiting for his turn. And
you're a cynic as I am, Joe. You see the world through cynical eyes.
But here's the thing I wanted to say. Whenever you're trying to sell yourself to the masses, the masses are asses. I do agree with you on that. There's always going to be showmanship involved. You have to. But the only thing you have is your past. That's the only hint we get of who you are. You can say anything. They can get the best camera angles. But the only way you know about anybody who tries to sell themselves to you is their track record. And if you go back and you look at Romney's track record, the guy is clean, squeaky clean. And
so that's why they didn't pick him. He was too clean for them to do business with.
That's it.
Joe. Thank you for the call. You see, I get some great callers, very intelligent callers. Now, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I must tell you that my autobiography, Psychological Nudity, has surpassed Nancy Pelosi's book in the first week. And I want to thank all of you for ordering the book. And I again recommend you go to michaelsavage.com. And please, by Friday, try to order the book so I can know how many to print. I can't guarantee that you'll get a book unless you do. I mean, I print a certain amount, and that's it. They're not going to go out for 5 or 6 weeks. You're not going to be billed until you actually get the book shipped to you, that is. And some of the stories are worth listening to. And I want to play for you one of the stories right now, which is 2 minutes long. Then we'll come back. We'll continue to argue over the party system, over Palin's speech, over who you think is right, whether I'm right or wrong. But please now listen to one of the stories in Psychological Nudity. The story I'm going to tell you occurred when I was a young man, first a kid and then a young man. And it was about a man who grew up as my father's one of my father's best friends in a very poor neighborhood in New York City. They were immigrants together. Their parents came over. They came over, I think, maybe on the same boat, or they met each other in the slums of New York. And they both had a very tough life, and they worked their way up little by little, as the immigrants have to do and as they struggle in the society. And this man went into a business that took off at a certain point like a rocket. He hit a fad in a certain business, and he started to make a great deal of money, and he moved way beyond our family. While we lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, an attached brick house, he had the money to move his family to a detached house. Remember how important that distinction was in those days, is like the Buick LeSabre as opposed to the Buick Roadmaster. Well, God forbid you, a Rockefeller, you bought a Cadillac, if you can imagine. That's how people used to grade themselves in those days, by their success, you know, their status, cars and houses. I don't suppose it's much different today. It just isn't as easy to figure out in some regard, not on the road anyway. Anyway, so he moved to this detached house in Roslyn, New York. And it was a beautiful house. It had its own garden all around it. We only had a little strip of grass in the backyard, a little teeny one in the front. And the carpet was wall to wall, and it was pink. And he was a big cigar smoker. And we go over and visit, and I had a very good time. He would gloat, you know, with the cigar and lord it over my father. And we'd leave. My father never said anything against him. But, you know, I could see in his eyes that he was in his, you know, he was a little, let's say lost that little battle at that time. You know how men are. I mean, men are competitive. Even if they love their friend, if their friend does better than them, there's a degree of envy in every human being. It's just one of the cardinal sins. As years went on, the man's business continued to thrive. And then I left home. I moved away from New York City. I went and did my thing, collecting plants, working for my graduate degrees, thousands of miles away. I was living 6,000 miles away, then 9,000 miles away in the Fiji Islands. And lo and behold, on one of my trips back to New York when I was already a father myself, I had heard that this man's business had collapsed entirely. The fad that he had rode like a wave had died. Women were no longer buying that particular product. And the man who had a chain of successful wholesale stores lost everything. He lost everything, and it was so fast that he wound up living where he started, on the Lower East Side of New York, in a poor relative's apartment with his wife and the relative's family, back where he started, in a one-room apartment. And that's where I come in. I come back from one of my trips to the Fiji Islands. I'm a young man in my, I don't know how old I must have been. I don't remember, 25, 30. I don't remember what age I was already anymore. And there he was, sitting in my father's house. And I loved this man. I loved him like another father. I loved all my father's friends. And you know how it is when you're a kid in a very close-knit community. You tend to love the people like they're your own. You know, we all grew up so closely together. There was never a bad word between him and my father. Man, he's sitting there shrunken up in the chair in my living room where he had lost everything. And he looks up at me, still smoking a cigar, and he was shrunken in the chair. And he looks up at me in his eyes and he says, Michael, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. And his eyes were like wandering left and right. He didn't understand what happened to him. And he said, I'd rather I have cancer than what God did to me. Lo and behold, I soon left New York. I went back to do what I did, which is collecting plants. And I heard that 2 years later, he died from one of the most rapidly invasive forms of brain cancer. Be careful what you say. God hears the truth, but waits. I'll be right.
Savage.
Well, that's one from the heart. At last, they're real, the savage stories that you've demanded, and there's 75 of them from my colorful life history. They're in this limited first edition printing. They're now available for the first time, and they're all in there, the stories that you heard about. And you say, well, who's interested in that right now with all of the politics and the Sarah Palin speech? Trust me, there's politics in every one of these stories, and trust me on something else. Long after this political season is over, you're going to have to go back to Life 101, and you're going to have to think about the meaning of life, and this is a book that's for everyone who has ever read one of my books. It's an original classic from me, Michael Savage, America's Storyteller. You can only get it at michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage.
Political cross-dressing is the theme of today's program on the Savage Nation, and it is political cross-dressing. Both parties have switched roles in a single day on so many issues that it's hard to keep track. And frankly, I'm not the only observer who is saying this. People are saying it to me behind the scenes. They're afraid to say it on the air because they understand that the audience cannot follow this. They understand that the audience needs a winner, a loser, an A team and a B team. The audience needs to root for one team or the other. The audience basically has the mind of a 5 or a 6 year old, even if they're more intelligent on a more natural level on other issues. When it comes to politics, they're basically 5 to 8 years old. And it's what team are you on? Either you're with me or you're against me, either you're for me or against me. And that's why I sound so odd to some of you, because you don't understand what I'm, you know, why I'm taking this position. And I go where I think my where the truth lies for me. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me, and it doesn't mean I'm not going to vote for McCain at all. It means that this is a disastrous mistake. And although she may be a fine person with the right credentials as a woman, she's not ready to be commander-in-chief, in my humble opinion. And that is an issue, boys and girls, when you're selecting a president who is 72 years of age going into the office. And if you don't want to hear that, I am sorry. But I care more about my country than I do about the presidency. I care far more about my survival in an age of Islamofascism and the Russian bear on the rise and the Chinese dragon on the rise and the Syrian asp on the rise than I do about any of these parties. And I care very much about who really could take control of the United States military in one heartbeat. I really care about things like that. I'm really not interested in advancing the careers of an apparatchik somewhere in Minnesota or an apparatchik in New York or Chicago or in San Francisco. What is an apparatchik? It means a functionary, a party functionary, a bureaucrat within a party, whether it be Republican or Democrat, who is simply in it for what spoils he or she may get. That doesn't intrigue me. I am not a politician. I am Michael Savage, a talk show host. Be here.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
The Savage Nation. Times they are certainly a changing, and we're talking about the political cross-dressing that is occurring right before our eyes. And again, I'm going to quote the great one, George Washington, who told us that the two-party system was a danger. George Washington, the founder of America, said this, and I'll repeat it until you finally hear it. It serves to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. The party system agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one against another. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another, close quote. 200 years ago, George Washington, our first president, knew that we would come to this point that we are at today. So please don't pretend that your party is fighting power for principle. They are fighting principally for power. This is the Savage Nation. And I approve of this monologue. 1-800-449-8255. My monologue, Political Cross-Dressing, and all the stories of the day can be found on michaelsavage.com, the little website that could. Let us go to the callers. Again, the callers, the callers, the callers. We are all waiting for the great one to speak, a woman who you never heard of last week, who many of you are now saying is, well, a combination of, let us say, Martha Washington and Betsy Ross combined, possibly Madame Curie. Throw in any other great woman, and there it is, all in one bundle. Someone you never heard of, but all of a sudden they told you she is, therefore she is. Now, I'm not saying she's a bad woman, nor am I saying I will vote against McCain for Obama. I'll never vote for a Democrat like Obama. Never. Let me be very clear about that. But I may vote in the election and not vote for McCain. I may not vote for the presidency. I may vote for every ballot initiative. I may vote for every other issue on the ballot. I don't know if I can vote for this man. That's my opinion. Now, it's one man's opinion. My vote is my vote. Your vote is your vote. What's the difference what I vote? What, you're going to hate me because I don't love John McCain, who a year ago was written off as a political hack because he is a political hack, who a year ago was written off as a Democrat because he almost became one, who a year ago was running after immigrants because they were more important to him than the conservatives? Now suddenly I have to get down on my hands and knees and worship him. You want me to idolize John McCain all of a sudden? Why? Well, because Obama's so terrible. Oh, so Obama's so terrible, so now I have to love John McCain. That's the way it works. That's the system right now. That's how the system works. I want to remind you of a fable written by Hans Christian Andersen called The Emperor's New Clothes. Many of you have heard this vaguely, or you read it in school when you were a school child, before they taught you, instead of reading The Emperor's New Clothes, they taught you that Rebecca has two mommies or Johnny has two daddies. That's the new fable. Those are the fables of our time. That I'm sure tomorrow we'll read is the new conservative viewpoint. I'm positive that by tomorrow, both Miss Palin and Mr. McCain will tell us that they're embracing gays. I'm surprised that in that lineup on the tarmac, we weren't told that one of them is gay and that we love them. We love that gay man. In fact, he's the lover of one of the other men, and they're bisexual, and we love them all because we are such a large tent now that we can include bisexuals, homosexuals, trisexuals, unicycles, bicycles, tricycles, anything you want, because we're a big tent. We stand for nothing but power. I'm surprised that hasn't come up yet. So I will read to you a piece of The Emperor's New Clothes. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you'll get the picture quickly. Or, you know, the way it ends is the emperor has no clothes. A little child says, wait a minute. Child comes up and sees the emperor going by in a wagon. And everyone's saying how good the emperor looks in his new clothing. What, they're beautiful. They're marvelous. The colors of the fabric are beautiful. But actually, he's naked. The emperor's driving around inside the carriage naked. He has nothing on at all, but the people don't want to say that he's naked. A child, however, who had no important job and could only see things as his eyes showed them to him, went up to the carriage and said, "The emperor is naked." He said, "The emperor is naked." "Fool," his father reprimanded. "Don't talk nonsense." He grabbed his child and he took him away. But the boy's remark, which had been heard by the bystanders, was repeated over and over again until everyone cried, "The boy is right. The emperor is naked. It's true." Now, the emperor also realized that the people were right, but could not admit to that. He thought it better to continue the procession under the illusion that anyone who couldn't see his clothes was either stupid or incompetent. And he walked stiffly in the procession, while behind him a page held his imaginary mantle. Now, what do you think Hans Christian Andersen was talking about when he said that the naked emperor walked, even though he knew he was naked, and he did so, and he walked stiffly, while behind him a page held his imaginary mantle? The page in this case are the Republican hacks. The page in this case are the Democrat hacks. Both candidates are naked emperors. That's my opinion. Florida, Edith, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's your opinion?
Yes, hello. Hello, my friend Mike Savage. I love talking to you.
All right, shut off the radio. Make your point quickly, though, please.
My point is McCain's saga is as clear as a bell to me. He's full of pride. He's a little Napoleon. And,
whoa. Let's slow down. Aren't both candidates prideful and Napoleonic?
License to become the leader of our country. He's no.
So you would rather have Obama as president?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's another disaster. Look, I served World War II. was a Navy nurse, but that doesn't give me license to run for president. I'm not a leader, and neither is McCain. Now, his choosing Mitt Romney would have given us a victory. Hey, that would have been a shoo-in.
Okay, but your radio is backfiring, so thank you. The times, they certainly are a-changing. 1-800-449-825. We're all waiting for Sarah Palin's speech, which I'm sure will be very stirring and great. Still doesn't qualify her to be vice president, by the way. What good? What, a speech is enough already? Now you can run the U.S. Air Force? Now you're suddenly going to go on an aircraft carrier. Oh, great. This is a flyover. Oh, yeah, I can do that, too. After all, I was once a soccer mom. Sure, nothing to it. Oh, Russia's invading the Ukraine? No problem. No problem. Oh, Syria's moving nuclear weapons? Oh, no problem. North Korea? I've got the can-do spirit. I won a bobsled race in high school. Are you kidding me? Can do it. You can win. Just have positive thinking. Women fly. We can all do it. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Patrick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Doc Savage. You know, I think every sane conservative out there is fed up with the, you know, diehard Republicans who will vote for anybody with an R next to their name. But, you know, people like me who are concerned with the idea that maybe the public, the party needs to break apart right now. But, you know, do we want to take that chance by not voting for McCain and letting Obama in? You know,
no,
I mean,
I understand that. I understand that very well. But, of course, that's the way the game has been played ever since Ronald Reagan, who was a true conservative, although I had very, very serious doubts about his agricultural policies. I'll let that go for the moment. The fact of the matter is that George Bush gave us a liberal democratic view of government. He increased government to an extent not seen in three previous Democrat administrations. George Bush grew the government to an extent nobody had ever seen, and yet we're supposed to now say Republicans are better than Democrats?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think to myself often that I'd never vote for Bush again. But, you know, if we had somebody like Kerry as the alternative again, it's like, boy, when I'm there to punch the ballot, you know, it'd be a big
I understand. Well, that's the choice between these far-left international European socialists and the equivalent of an American liberal who is John McCain. John McCain is an American liberal. Obama is an international socialist. That would make it much easier for the average voter. Let's focus on the two chief candidates. McCain is a liberal Democrat of approximately 25 years ago. Obama is a European socialist of the current era. And that's exactly the choice we have today, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, I think the problem is that that's exactly what they want us to be at. You know, I think the Republicans know every time we have an election that, you know, they're the better of the two choice, but not by much. And, you know, they just like to keep it that way. And that's very, very unfortunate. And, you know, I wish there was a good alternative to that. But there doesn't seem to be, you know, what else can we do but vote for him every time? And it's just very sad.
Yes. Now, the word publican is very interesting. Where does the word publican come from? Because it has nothing to do with this. But in ancient Rome, a publican was a man who was employed by the state government under contract. In other words, he was state employee. A publican was a state employee. And as early as 200 BC, there was a class of men in Rome accustomed to tax collecting, taking contracts involving public works. And of course, the tax collectors made the most profit. And the publicans were usually capitalists. In the Gospels, which showed the general detestation, particularly in the old world in which the publicans were held, people hated them. The publicans who were mentioned were tax collectors. I'm telling you this for a reason. From the first century A.D., the abuses of the publicans began to be corrected, and by the end of the second century, the publicans as a group had disappeared. But if you go to the Christian Bible in Matthew 9, 10 to 13, you'll actually find references which say this, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What that has to do with Sarah Palin, I will let you figure out. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Quick call out of KNEW, my hometown of San Francisco. Pat, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, I'm actually from Los Gatos.
Okay.
I wouldn't live in San Francisco. I think Palin is a political endorphin. I admire her. I can relate to her. I really think she's accomplished, and I think she really will make a difference. We don't have many choices. If we did, possibly she wouldn't be there. But I do not care for McCain, but I think he redeemed himself in my eyes by picking her and showing that he does have confidence in women.
Okay, we'll let it go at that. It's a world of many, many opinions, and that's one of them. The naked city slept. And in the naked city, there were 9 million people with 9 million stories. And that is one of them. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. I was just joking with the guys during the break that, I mean, I seem to have alienated everybody in the country. The only people left probably who support me are the dog lovers. But I mean, I can work on that, too. Maybe I can say something about a dog that you can hate me for. Who says that I, as an independent conservative, have to support John McCain? You didn't like John McCain 9 months ago. You hated him. It was the McCain-Kennedy amnesty immigration reform. Don't you remember he was for amnesty and you hated him? This very same people who, like Pat Buchanan, were railing against John McCain a year ago, writing him off, are now sitting there supporting him. I look at there at MSNBC there. They're all sitting there in the hot sun in Minneapolis, and there's poor John. There's poor Pat Buchanan. I think he could use an Africa Corps uniform. I mean, the heat must be terrible on poor Pat, the token right winger that they have. Maybe they can get him a used Africa Corps uniform out of one of the Army and Navy stores or one of the other such stores up in the area to keep the heat off his head. Has anyone asked Sarah Palin or John McCain or Barack Hussein Obama or the guy from Delaware whose name I forget what they will do about the increasing violence in the United States of America being inflicted on America by the illegal aliens? They're killing cops. They're shooting politicians now. They're raping women in the streets of San Francisco brazenly. They're not afraid of the police, and I will tell you why. It's not that the police are afraid of them. I happen to know an awful lot about police, and I'm not going to tell you why. The police are not afraid of the gangbangers, but the police are at a disadvantage. The police have to wait for the gangbanger to pull a gun before they can pull their gun. The police are getting hurt. The police are getting hurt in the state of California, and the gangbangers know that they have the advantage because of men like Barack Hussein Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I think John McCain as well, who are embracing illegal aliens as hardworking people, all of whom come here simply to advance their lives. Well, that's true for many of them. We know that. I'm an immigrant son, as I've told you 10,000 times. And in my book, Psychological Nudity, I explain some of the stories of my life. I explain that to you. But there's a huge difference between legal immigration, orderly legal immigration, and a flood of invaders who take over a country and then virtually own politicians by dint of the demographics of that invasion. And so we now see that coming home to roost in John McCain as well, I'm sorry to tell you. Now, if John McCain said, I will stand up strongly against the illegal immigrants, particularly the gangbangers, I will deport them all. The first thing I will do is create a new police, whatever. And we will use the military to get rid of the gangs that are growing. Here in California, for example, a councilman, a wonderful young Hispanic councilman of the name of Garcia, was shot at far distance by a rifle yesterday. Nobody knows who killed a Fairfax councilman Garcia or why. He was shot by a rifle shot from a distance. Why was he killed? A young Hispanic who was part of the government out here. Who killed him? I think you can pretty much figure out what this is about. Attack on young official stuns Fairfield. Well, what is John McCain going to do about the illegal immigrants? That is different than what Barack Hussein Obama will do. Do you have an answer to that question? We know that last night, oh God, I'm out of time again. Again, I'm out of time. Play clip 17. I'll tell you who it is. Here is Hispanic Democrat Tommy Espinosa, CEO of Raza Development, Inc. at the RNC. He's an Hispanic Democrat. He's the godfather of John and Cindy's son, Jimmy. And here's what the Democrat said in 17.
When John McCain sees immigrants are also God's children, I know his suffering has given him the compassion for the weak broken families, and the poor.
All right. Well, we all know that. But what does that have to do with illegal immigrants who broke the law? That's not about being weak. That's about making us weak.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's political cross-dressing. Nobody knows which way the wind is blowing anymore. Even the weatherman is confused. That's the reality here. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know which party is who and what stands for what. That's the bottom line here. And I've said what I want to say. You know where I stand, and I'm not going to go on and on about this anymore. We know that when Sarah Palin gives her speech, it's going to be a record audience. I know she's going to wow the audience. She's an intelligent woman. That's not enough for me. I'm sorry. You know, one speech does not make a commander-in-chief, but that's the way it is. And this family on the tarmac, I'm sorry, it looked like cops to me. And by the way, you talk about what a campaign does to people. Cindy McCain looks like Gravel Gertie. This is after 3 weeks already. What happened to her? The woman melted down. I was a big Cindy McCain supporter a few weeks ago. The woman looks like she's aged 30 years in the last 3 weeks. I don't think she can handle this either. That's what I'm worried about. I don't know how anyone does this day in and day out for a living, kissing babies, walking on hot tarmacs, kissing the unwashed masses, pregnant, unpregnant. You don't know who's what. I don't know who's who there. What was he kissing everybody on the tarmac, John McCain, like they were long-lost relatives? Hugging and kissing. And, oh, my God, look at it. A guy who looks like the cops just chased him out of under a house somewhere is suddenly John McCain's best new friend. All eyes on Sarah. Yeah, all right, great. I hope she does a great speech. Oh, well, what about the hurricane that never was? A whole weekend, it's coming, it's going to hit, it's going to wipe out. We've got to move them, get the buses. Are they prepared? Is he in the center? Is he in the warplane? Is he ready this time? Where's Cheney? Are they making money? Where's Governor Harbor? Is it coming? It's going. It's going to hit. It's going to knock out. The levees, they're not ready. It's racist. It's against the blacks. George Bush did it. Dick Cheney, they whipped up the hurricane. They have a white man thing with weather. They can make a touch and whoom, the weather. And they're knocking over the. They're moving them. Get them out. A million p.m. Whoosh. The storm went somewhere else. That was a story that never was. They all covered it. And they were still covering it the next day. There was nothing happening. The sun was out in New Orleans. No one lost a frog. A frog didn't jump out of a pond, but they were still covering it. You're saying the hurricane, save your hurricane coverage because tomorrow it's coming again. So, okay, the hurricane is Sarah Palin. Hurricane this week, it'll be blown over by next week. Suddenly she's the greatest woman in the history of the world. No one ever heard of her last week, but now, bigger than Martha Washington and Betsy Ross put together, Madame Curie, nobody can touch this woman. The greatest woman they could ever find. They searched the planet. They searched high and they searched low. They searched far and they searched wide. They could not find a better woman in the entire world. Bakersfield, Jules, you're up in the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. You make me think. I feel, gosh, when they announced Pollin's vice president, I was excited, and I thought, this is great. This is totally unpredictable, and, you know, I went with it. And then I listened to you, and, oh, it shot me down because you really made me think in ways that
I'm glad I made you think. I guess that's a crime in American politics today. It's considered worse than being a communist 50 years ago. A free thinker is one of the greatest threats to the social order, as you well know. And when you have three men now running the entire world media, there's no one more dangerous than an independent-minded man like Michael Savage. That's why they have to crush him with lies about him. That's why they hire operatives such as the Cretans in Media Matters to make up stories about me.
I had a point. You were telling the story earlier, and how the gentleman mentioned, you know, I'd rather die of cancer or something. And I, years ago, 30 years ago, I read a book, and forgive me, I don't know the author, but it was The Tongue, A Creative Force. And I remember after Pollin was announced as the VP, you know, hopeful, and then I listened to you and I thought about what you were saying and I thought, gosh, you're gonna kill it because you're saying all these things. But then how can we deny and not consider what you're saying and what you're presenting? So,
but isn't the job of an... Wait a minute. Let's back up for a minute. My job is not to be a party hack for either party. I am not here to support either party. That's not what talk radio is. In fact, it's a violation of the FCC rules. Let me be very clear. And anyone in radio is sitting here and supporting a party should be thrown off the air because that's not their job as a talk radio host. They are not here to present partisan politics. And the fact of the matter is, I am here to present one man's opinion. I'm here to provoke thought. I'm here to make people think and make up their own mind. I am not here to be a pimp for a party. And so people have to either make up their own minds or have their minds made up for them. I don't understand why they're angry at me for telling them what I think about this selection, which I think is a mistake.
Good that you I just didn't even go there. That's the thing. And I appreciate what you put out there.
But I'm not just criticizing the Republicans. As you well know, Obama is less experienced than Sarah Palin is. In fact, the more we focus on Sarah Palin's lack of experience in management, the more worried we should be about an Obama presidency. The more worried we should be about him because he is less experienced in managing than she is. So that's another reason I've been focusing on Sarah Palin. Because finally, when I have the audience saying, you know what, you might be right, maybe she isn't experienced enough, then maybe, just maybe, they could finally understand what I have been doing, which is trying to get the middle of the road people to understand that Obama has no experience whatsoever on the executive level. And he is absolutely a clear and present danger to the survival of this nation for that reason alone. Thank you for the call. And the story you're referring to, by the way, about the man who said, I don't even want to repeat it with the brain cancer, was called The Yawn Man Gets Brain Cancer from my book, Psychological Nudity. But I actually changed it to The Leatherman Gets Brain Cancer for a reason I will tell you in January of 2009, assuming I am still here. Anchorage, Alaska. Peggy, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. It's great to talk to you. I've listened to you for years, and this is the first one I've ever called.
Thank you.
As I said, I'm from Alaska, and I want you to know, the people here, a lot of people don't feel they can talk, but generally, even though people are proud because it puts us on the map, there is very few people in this state that really believe deep down that Sarah Palin is able to lead our country and basically be the head of the free world. We just
now. Well, let's pause. Are you a Democrat or a Republican? I just need to know that.
A registered Republican since I was 18. And the ironic thing is, I hated John McCain. I wasn't going to vote in this election. I wouldn't even consider Obama. I think he's great at some things, but he's certainly not a president for us. But when he put McCain put Palin on the ticket, it really has shaken just by the core of just my life of how maybe none of us really do know who runs this country. Because if he's so willing to put someone on the ticket that is so clearly unqualified just to get elected, then that means he puts everybody at risk. And so really don't matter. And is it because that other people run this country that we never really know about? It's really...
Well, it's funny to me because Alaska is sort of the last holdout of the rugged individualist of the type that America once specialized in a certain way. People who move to Alaska generally are truly individualist and want to get away from the herd mentality. And I think Sarah Palin represents that to many people. However, what you're saying is something quite different, isn't that, Peggy?
Yes. Sarah Palin is excellent at facades. I believe that she's a very narcissistic woman who has one goal, and that is to go to the top. And many people said that governor wasn't going to be enough for her. It was she always had her sights set higher. And
can you explain to me where she came from, where McCain suddenly found her, like in 15 minutes, why he bypassed Hutchison, why he couldn't find a more experienced Republican woman senator to bring into the fold if he must have a woman? Why didn't he pick Kay Bailey Hutchinson out of Texas, who is a liberal, by the way, and extremely in favor of illegal immigration? But nevertheless, he could have picked her and there wouldn't have been this controversy. It would have been a neutral. Why did he bypass Hutchison? Why did he go to Alaska and select this woman out of nowhere?
Because this woman is, she is incredibly savvy at the facade. As you, I mean, look at how the media is following her around. But believe me, that's exactly what happened here. And by the time during the debate, she lost. Really, she pretty much lost every debate that she had here in Alaska. But
well, we'll have to wait and see what she says tonight, and when she debates Biden from Delaware, that should be some sparks flying there at that one. And we'll have to wait and see. I hear you, and it's just another woman's opinion here. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'm talking about what you're talking about, which is the two-party system, which shows that the two-party system is totally and absolutely bankrupt. That's what we know by now. If we didn't know it before this election, we know it now, that it seems to me that the Peter Principle is operational here in both parties, that let's leave it at that. You know, the Peter Principle, many of you don't even know what that is. But it seems to me it's operational here. And again, I'm going to play for you, finally being able to finish it. We're going to start with clip 15. This is Hispanic Democrat Tommy Espinoza, the CEO of Raza Development Fund, Inc., who, as a Democrat member of Raza Development Fund, was invited to speak at the Republican National Convention yesterday. That's why I'm telling you about political cross-dressing. The parties now are blurred to an extent you never could have imagined. Listen to clip 15.
I was intrigued with this maverick congressman from Arizona. I asked him, what sustained you while you were in the prison camp? He looked intensely at me and said, my faith in God, my country, and my family. From then on, we were brothers, hermanos. We built a deep friendship, and I am honored to be the godfather of John and Cindy's son, Jimmy.
Well, that's very nice. I'm glad that there are friends from different parties. That's wonderful. And I'm glad John McCain was sustained by faith, country, and family in Vietnam. But I'd like to know how faith, country, and family coordinate with his desire to grant amnesty to 20 to 30 million illegal aliens, who will then have the capacity to bring in 150 million illegal aliens, who will then dwarf those of us who have, let us say, waited online several generations for our due. I wonder what that has to do with faith, country, and family, John. Could you explain that to us? Because we can't seem to follow this. Now let's go to clip 17.
When John McCain sees immigrants are also God's children, I know his suffering has given him the compassion for the weak, broken families, and the poor. McCain is the leader America needs. Viva John McCain! Viva America!
Viva Zapata. Viva Zapata. Well, I'm glad John has compassion for the weak, the broken, and the poor. I wonder if he also has compassion for the gangs that are running wild with machine guns in the streets. I wonder if John has compassion for the cops who are getting their faces shot. I wonder if John has compassion for the people who are being raped and mugged in San Francisco. I wonder if John has compassion for Mrs. Bologna, whose husband and two sons were gunned down in cold blood in the streets of San Francisco because of the compassion of the mayor of San Francisco, who I guess now has a brother in compassion in John McCain. But we'll have to wait and see, I suppose, to get the true answer on that. You're not going to get it because the little men and the little women, the empty skirts and the empty suits in the media, are not asking any of these questions that need to be asked. Instead, they're sitting there. They're talking about nothing. They're waiting for speeches. Then they're commenting on the speeches, and nobody is asking the questions that need to be asked in these difficult times in America. Now, before I take this break, I had wanted to talk to you about the increased Sovietization of the United States of America, the parties in the United States of America. Many of you are not experts in the ex-Soviet Union, nor am I, but I know enough. I have a rudimentary knowledge of the ex-Soviet Union to the extent that I understand that both Republican and Democrat parties have increasingly started to mimic Soviet-style political parties. where there is it's all staged, where there is no true debate. The fake town hall meetings and complicity with the media, the government media complex is operational right now, is an example, a continuous example of the Sovietization of the political parties of America. I truly believe these parties exist only and solely for their own self-aggrandizement and power. And I truly believe that if they felt they could get away with prison camps, they would invoke prison camps. I'm positive that if they thought that it would advance their party with work camps, they would introduce work camps in this country. I am convinced that if they thought it would advance the interests of their party, they would close down press in the United States, which Nancy Pelosi, of course, is nakedly wanting to do in the form of conservative talk radio. I am telling you, as I stand here, that in your lifetime, you will remember that the words I just said to you. The United States America is drifting rapidly, not slowly, into becoming the ex-Soviet Union. I'll be right back. Savage. We have John McCain, who continues to disappoint those of us who are looking for borders, language, and culture rhetoric. Instead, we're getting absolutely nothing about securing the borders, deporting the gangbangers, English only in the workplace, English only in the voting booth instead of in eight different languages. And, of course, the culture. What about the culture? Now, do you want to import wholesale a foreign culture? Well, that's what happens when you're defeated in war. When a nation is defeated in war, the dominant culture imposes its culture upon the defeated. And that's exactly what both parties have in mind for you. That's what bilingual education is. That's the agenda of La Raza. That's the agenda of all of these radical Hispanic groups, is a cultural domination of this nation, whether you know it or not. And it seems to me that they have not only the ear, but the hearts and the minds of John McCain and Barack Hussein Obama. So where does that leave us, the American people who are nationalists, who love this country? Tell me where it leaves me. I don't have an answer for you, which is why I am in such great pain on the Savage Nation, which is why this is so difficult for me, which is why I am continuing to alert you to the fact that not so much as 6 to 9 months ago, John McCain was written off. Most of you despised him because he was a political cross-dresser. Now you're embracing him and you're saluting him, and you're only doing it because Obama is so terrible by comparison. Well, that's one of the, what a great, great thing that is. That's why I read for you today the emperor's new clothes. You know, the king has no clothes kind of thing. So we can go on and on about this. I've given you my opinion, and I'm going to let you understand that you have your opinion. I have mine, and we may not agree all the time. But remember this, after the election is over, come November, come mid-November, come Thanksgiving, this will be behind us, and it will either be Obama and the Marxist, Euro-Marxists running the country, God forbid, or it will be the far-left Democrat New Republican Party that George Bush fashioned out of whole cloth, creating in your lifetime an entirely new party without you even knowing it. So when you say Republican, what do you really mean? Tell me what they stand for. Would you please call this program and tell me what the Republican Party stands for? I challenge anyone listening to this show to tell me what the Republican Party stands for, because I, for the life of me, don't know. I just don't know. I haven't any idea. All of a sudden, the Democrats are talking about teenage motherhood. At the same time, the Republicans are saying that if you question whether teenage motherhood is good for America, you're a sexist. 24 hours, the Republicans discarded 150 years of morality because they think it will help them gain power. And yet, in the same day, the Democrats have discovered morality. And embraced morality because they think it will help them take the Republicans down. That's the politically insane George Orwellian world that we are living in. And don't think I'm alone in this observation. I may be the only one saying it, but I'm not the only one seeing it. Savage book sales surpassed Pelosi's in 1 week. Why is that? Because I speak truth to power. Unlike any party official, I'm simply one man trying my best to uphold, like Atlas, the axis of the earth. And let me tell you something. Atlas shrugged. Atlas shrugged. That's all I can tell you.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
McCain was another go-along partisan politician, he never would have led the fight to fix our broken immigration system or actually do something about global warming. But he did. As a matter of fact, friends.
Global warming?
You guys are all a bunch of cool-looking Christians also. Ben, I don't know you well yet, but looking at you, I'm thinking people are going to be interested in Jesus Christ through you because of the way you look. This red-headed Sasquatch for Jesus. You look good. Times are really changing.
Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Political cross-dressing, that's the name of the game. And we, the American people, are supposed to sit here and cheer. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not cheering. I'm not a cheerleader for either party. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is where the word independent starts to take on real meaning. Anyone could say, oh, I'm an independent. What does that mean? Tell me what that means when you're sitting there at the Republican convention and you're letting go of the red, white, and blue balloons because Obama's so terrible. That makes you suddenly a conservative? That makes you into an independent? Well, fine. Then what do you stand for? I challenge anyone listening to the show, including the thousands of you who are Republican apparatchiks, to call this program and tell me what in the heck does the Republican Party of today under George Bush, and as you see it today, stand for? Tell me what it stands for and how it differs. Here's the essay question. Don't give me the short answer. Give me the long answer. Give me the essay answer. How does the Republican Party today differ from the Democrat Party? I'd like to have that answer if you don't mind. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, Oregon. Kevin, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm glad you brought up dogs earlier. First thing this morning, I took my dog out on a hike in the mountains. I couldn't stand to sit here. I'm on vacation this week. I couldn't stand to sit here and watch this garbage all day. So I go up in the mountains with my dog. I get back a few hours ago. And first thing I see on TV when I get back is, just like you said, John McCain going down the steps, walking the perp line there. And he gets to the end.
Did it strike you as something that was almost out of Fellini Satyricon? A Republican presidential nominee walking down a receiving line of people who look like they came out of a set from Cops?
Well, and he gets to the end to the pregnant daughter and the father of this child, and he's shaking their hands and congratulating them and rubbing their arms. And then he grabs that boy's hand again, and you could almost read his lips and see he's like, what a good grip you've got, son. And everything is just hunky-dory. And I tell you what, if that woman tonight, Governor Palin, the first time she comes out with one of these cute colloquialisms of being the hockey mom or the soccer mom or field dressing a moose, I'm shutting it off and I'm going out and I'm getting drunk.
Well, as I said at the beginning of this program hours ago, I have not smoked pot in 30 years or more. I did so when I was much younger. I gave it up a very long time ago. I gave it up when about Bob Dylan was singing The Times They Are a-Changin'. But I have never seen the meltdown or degeneration of a political system as I have in my lifetime under George Bush. What George Bush has done to the Republican Party is evidenced by John McCain's selection of Sarah Palin and what this party has become today. Now, I know this is sacrilege to many of my listeners, and I know they're angry with me. I know that you're not one of the masses of listeners. I think that you are actually one of the listeners who can still think for yourself, Kevin. So I thank you for calling the program, okay?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Rose, Bakersfield, California. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please. Rose,
okay.
Yes.
I have a comment about McCain. I really am sorry about his choice.
All right. Thanks for that opinion. I appreciate it. Portland, Oregon. Rudy, your opinion, please go ahead.
How you doing, Michael? You there, Michael?
Next case. Anyone who asks me how I am, I don't answer it. 1-800-449-8255. North Carolina, Jason, you're next up. Go ahead, please. Another dud. I got a call screener today that should go to work for the McCain campaign. Maybe the call screener can get a job after this is over for the Republican Party. In a moment, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to pay the bills with the good people who love the Savage Nation, of whom there are quite many, and I want you to understand that. That although I've been attacked by the illegitimi over the last year, I'm still here because of you and because of my advertisers, and I want you to support them, okay? Political cross-dressing is the name of the game. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Savage.
That I know you've all been waiting for, Psychological Nudity is the title. And here we are, 75 stories from Michael's colorful life history are contained in this limited first edition printing. And you can go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to see the picture of me holding Teddy, my dog. The classic stories I've told on the radio were translated for the written word. And I have to say translated for obvious reasons, because the spoken word and the written word are two different mediums. They're not the same. One Arm Frank, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Savage's Childhood Diet, that's a prescription for a heart attack. Tippy the Dog Dies and is Thrown into a Garbage Truck. When Pasta Was Spaghetti, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, and many more favorites are in this book, 75, by the way. Are there political stories? A few. The Medical Reason Why Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Debunking Man-Induced Global Warming. Republicans Should Treat Voters Like Restaurant Customers. Psychological Nudity. It's a must for everyone who's read a Savage book. It's an original. Kindly go to michaelsavage.com, review the cover, click, and there it is, and I'll know how many you print. My dad, God rest his soul, owned a small antique store on the Lower East Side of New York, and he specialized in 19th century French bronzes. And they were gorgeous. You know, I learned a lot about art because I stared at them all day long. Now, you may say, oh, what do you know about art? I know a lot about art, believe me. Trust me, I probably know more than the art historian of your choice. So these figures would come in with a brown or black patina, which is the accumulation over the ages. And it was gorgeous, the patina. But the nouveaus who were buying the figures to turn them into lamps wanted them to look like gold, because underneath the patina was the original bronze color. So, okay, all right, Ben, I'll take that, I'll turn it into a lamp, you know, mount the thing, blah, blah, blah. So they'd buy it, and a certain number would be left for the weekend, and I'd have to clean them in the basement, down into the pit, dirty, horrible, dank, huge old wine barrels, a toilet from hell, no mirror on the wall except speckled from the acid that hit the mirror. I'm down there for, I don't know what age, 14, 12, 15, I don't remember. With a toothbrush. There was only one other guy he would hire to do it, this guy named Louis from the Bowery. Nobody else in history would do this. Get rubber gloves up to my elbows, and you would drop these white pellets into water, turn it into a cyanide solution. And then you would take the brush, and you'd rub the figure until the patina came off the bronze. And I'm rubbing it. It would take you an hour to do each one or two. Rub, and you're a kid. You're rubbing, and what you're thinking about is where you're going to go that night. You're going out on a date, or you're going to hang out with your friends, you're going to drag race, whatever. Meanwhile, my face would be blotched, and I'm rubbing and cleaning, and it's like a Dickens basement. So one day, so I go into high school chemistry, and I said to my teacher, I told him what I was doing. I was using cyanide balls. My father had a huge chemical supply. No, it was not used for anything but this. And I said to the teacher, I use these cyanide balls for a cleaning solution. They said, what? So I went, that's poisonous, he said to me. They use cyanide balls at San Quentin to kill people. But he said, don't get worried. There's a sodium cyanide and then there's a potassium cyanide salt. So I said, really? Oh, this is very much like Abraham slew Isaac. So I went to my dad and I said, do you know that they use cyanide to kill people at, you know, the gas? He says, yeah, but that's the other one. I'm giving you the correct ion. I said, oh, thanks, Dad. That was close. You know, it was definitely out of the Bible. You got to understand the context of this story. He's like, oh, he put the knife to the throat, but he didn't cut it because God said use potassium cyanide, not sodium cyanide. Now, to this day, I don't know which one kills you. So that's it. Now, if you look back upon it, this is a side note. I swear to God, if you're a doctor listening to this show or a trained scientist, I want you to think about what I'm going to say. Is it possible that inhaling the fumes that didn't kill you outright in some way mitted against the fatty foods collecting in my arteries? I have a pet theory that in some way, although it blotched my face, it built up my immunity to something. I know it did.
Savage.
I think it built up my immunity to BS. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I think that's what gave me the greatest BS detector in the history of talk radio. Welcome back to the Savage Nation here. I mean, the reason I'm playing these stories from Psychological Nudity is twofold. One, because, of course, I want to intrigue you enough to go to michaelsavage.com and buy a copy of the book, yes. But I think I have to set the stage for those of you who have known me for 15 years, those of you who have known me for 5 years, those of you who've just tuned in, those of you who are diehard Republicans and are disappointed because I'm not saluting Sarah Palin. I think you've got to understand where I'm coming from to understand where I am altogether. I come from a different world than this world in many ways. Now, maybe the world has passed me by and I'm out of touch with the times. It's possible. I'm willing to admit it. But I kind of doubt it. I think that my value system is pretty rock solid, and I think my value system is what's missing from the political scene right now. And I think that expresses my distemper with John McCain, Barack Obama, and the whole pack of them. I think what I'm seeing is an increased Sovietization of the United States political system. And again, those are very, very highly charged words. I know exactly what I'm saying. I see two parties that have become increasingly like the Soviet party system of the ex-Soviet Union. Rigid, structured, absolutely no chance for an outsider to stick their nose in, let alone their foot. The whole thing is a charade. And I think there's no greater evidence of this than the fact that Romney was pushed aside because even he, a very wealthy man, the former governor of Massachusetts, was not enough of an old boy to have been ushered into the great big tent of the Republican Party. He's not, in other words, even he was considered an outsider. And yet now we wake up to the spectacle of John McCain, his plane landing as though the second coming has just arrived. Here's a guy that the media spit on 6 months ago. Now already they're watching his plane landing this morning. Now he's God all of a sudden. He's the savior of the free world. He gets off the plane, and astonishingly, we see him walking down a receiving line of people who look like they're perps on cops. I've never seen anything like this. Now, you may not like what I just said, but that's the way I see it. And that's why I read to you The Emperor's New Clothes earlier on The Savage Nation, because to me, this is an example of The Emperor's New Clothes. He walked stiffly in the procession while behind him a page held his imaginary mantle. There it is. That's the world according to Michael Savage. So what do you see? What do you see? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. What is your opinion today, and how do the Republicans differ from the Democrats? Let's take any caller across this country. Georgia, James, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. Basically, I just think we're gradually going to hell in a handbasket. Values have constantly went down. It just seems the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer, but people are expecting to be helped. This country is built on people who help themselves. And
Right. And the increasing numbers of poor, both poor because of bad luck, poor because of an influx of immigrants, many of whom don't work. The poor are great in number, and they think that both parties have an obligation to help them.
Right. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with being poor. It's poor not trying to help yourself.
Well, I hear you, right? I had to pick myself up by my bootstraps. I guess that's why I've been playing stories from Psychological Nudity. Have you heard any of these stories yet? I mean, have you heard me talk about them? I mean, I had a lot of hard knocks in my life, and I certainly didn't enjoy them. I'd rather that it was easy for me. Maybe I would have liked a nice government job, but it wasn't available to me, you know. So thanks for the call. So Drudge has now posted the excerpts from Palin's speech somewhere on his site. Like, okay, here's, I have to read this now. Like she's George Washington. Well, who wrote this for her? What is she saying that's so important? I don't see Palin's speech excerpts on Drudge. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Palin to jab Obama, cast herself as outsider. Okay, great. Wonderful. She's a wonderful person. But, you know, this is the point I was trying to make when I got distracted. Palin's a wonderful woman. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with her. She's a terrific, wonderful person. Not qualified to be commander-in-chief by any means. Anybody who has any knowledge of what it means to be the commander of anything. Never. How about a candy store? That takes a genius to run a souvlaki stand. I don't think that most politicians could take a push cart today and make a living on it. If you go to New York, you see immigrants pushing carts selling hot dogs, sodas. They have to analyze how many hot dogs and sodas to buy, how much mustard to buy, how much propane to buy. Then they have to push the cart. I don't think a politician could do that job. It's not an easy job. My father started with a push cart. And so, therefore, now we're going to believe these public servants know how to run the economy, run the world, and face our adversaries. That's even better yet. The thing about Palin is this. Why were there no other qualified Republican women in the right age bracket? Now, think about this very carefully. The only other choice as a woman candidate would have been Kay Bailey Hutchinson. And the reason she wasn't chosen is because she was an old woman. And they figured if it was a ticket of two old people, you know, old John McCain and old Hutchinson, it would have looked like grandmother and grandfather running for office. That would have ended their chances. And no one knows who Hutchinson is. So now you go down the line and say, well, where's the next generation of Republicans? Where's another one, a 35-year-old who has no baggage, no teenage daughter who's pregnant, no family on a lineup on the tarmac that looks like that look like perps on cops? Where is it? The answer is they're nowhere. Do you know why? Because the Republican Party refused to create a bench of younger people who could wait in line. The Bush family destroyed the bench in the Republican Party. The Bush family said drop dead to any new blood. The Bush family destroyed the Republican Party and has aggrandized more power than any country has seen and since the Caesars of ancient Rome.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. Political cross-dressing is the name of today's program, or the theme of today's program. I've never seen anything like it in my life, but here it is. And here we are. I come from a different age. I admit that. And I apologize in advance if I offend you loyalist Republicans, you true believers, who don't understand that what's good for the party is not necessarily good for the United States of America. Houston, Texas, AJ, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, hey. I love you, man, but Savage, we cannot let these dang-gone Democrats get in office, sir. You got one heck of a listening base, and we do not want to tame them. We all think with our own minds, but we don't want nobody to filter into the Democrat Party. Let's get them Republicans in there and get these Demis out of there, and then we talk about them. We dang-gone don't want Barack in there. I'm a brother. I don't want Barack in there. I can let a whooping sheep clothing. I'll take McCain any day, 56%.
All right. Any well, day. I understand that. Hey, listen, I didn't say I'm not going to vote for McCain. I just said that I'm shocked that he would choose an inexperienced, unknown woman out of nowhere to be his running mate when there were so many qualified people who could, in fact, take over as commander-in-chief if, God forbid, this old man should become sick in office. And let's be very clear here, AJ. Don't tell me that you're not concerned about John McCain's age, because I think you'd be fibbing if you said that.
But she still beat Barack with the bad pick he made. She still got Barack. We black folks don't know Barack. Where did he come from? We don't know where. We all know nothing about the man.
AJ, come on. I'm not voting for Barack because of his inexperience and because of his political affiliation. So don't confuse yourself for a minute. But I appreciate where you're coming from, my friend, and I think you represent an awful lot of the listenership. Houston, Texas. Bain, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Welcome.
I'm a centrist Democrat, but I had a comment about the Palin nomination. Nothing has been brought up, but She's from one of only two states that runs a habitual surplus, Alaska and Nevada. If you put her in a state that was on a continual deficit, then you'd see if she could really govern.
Well, I understand her experience is an issue or her lack thereof, but the fact of the matter is she has more experience governing than does Barack Obama. I mean, as a Democrat, you should appreciate that.
Oh, I do. My only disagreement, it wasn't even over her child or anything like that. It was that she's in a state that continually runs plenty of money through their coffers.
And so, but why is Alaska a state that's so wealthy?
Oh, because of their oil revenues.
Oil revenues, number one. And number two, they're not burdened by the same number of illegal aliens that other states are. It's a little too far north, if you get the drift. It's an awful long run from the Rio Grande to Alaska. And why go to Alaska when you've got a cushy social welfare state in California? Why do you have to go any further than Los Angeles? You got the world waiting for you. You got lawyers. You got doctors. You got everything you could possibly need right over the border. Why would you want to go to Alaska when you got morons running the state of California, handing them everything on a silver platter? Thank you. That's all. Modesto, California. Ozzy, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, good afternoon. Well, listen, I'm going to be very brief and try to explain myself as good as I can. I'm an immigrant from Mexico, and I have children who listen to your show, and they are thrilled. Anyways, the word la raza, I heard you talk about la raza. This la raza is being misused. And I understand that if you look it up in the dictionary, like you've mentioned before, it does mean the race. But this two-word phrase has been used by the old folks, my grandparents and old-timers, which they referred to their children. See, when they were talking about, hey, you know, let's get all the children together, they would just comment as, let's get the raza, go get the raza. So
what you're saying is it's not as offensive as it may sound to the Anglo. So when I hear an organization called La Raza, it doesn't really mean the race. It means the children. Is that your explanation?
No. My explanation is that the politicians are using it possibly as the race. But the word La Raza was used when the state farm workers was empowered. You know,
I hear you. I understand. But there's a very similar in the sense that race and children are very intimately connected. We understand that as well. But, Ozzy, look, I think you as a Mexican-American can appreciate even more than I what it means to be in the United States of America. As an immigrant son, my grandfather fled oppression in the old world to come here. But when you import 10 or 20 million people virtually overnight who refuse to assimilate, and they bring with them the cultural mores of a state like Mexico, which is anything but a democracy, isn't that a clear and present danger to you yourself as well?
It is in a way, but what I want to finish explaining is that when the massive migration from the southern countries of South America came to the U.S., parents would call their children La Raza. So these people, these children back in the days grew up with the mind of La Raza, not of a brain that God gave them and each one of us to think and be ourselves. They continue to think, I'm La Raza. No. You know, they don't get out of...
Okay, what you're saying is they're doing groupthink rather than individual think, and I'm trying to make people think for themselves, and I think I've made my point. But I mean, look, that's it. That's all there is to it. There are other stories out there, but the real big story is that the political cross-dressing, but no, that Sarah Palin's speech will be more listened to than probably any speech in American history. They're going to say, what, 25 million? I would estimate it could be something like 35 million people listen to this unknown woman, which is astonishing to me. It's astonishing to me, and it actually fulfills the statement that in America anyone can be president. Sarah Palin proves it. They can take a no one and make her into president. That's sort of a change of anyone could become president, but in the same way, in a similar way, it means the same thing. If anyone could become president, then of course no one, then a nobody can become president. New York City, WOR, Chad, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I'm with you on the Palin pick, but I just wanted to know, when are you going to realize the fact that you got too many true believers listening to your show? We went through this in 04 with Bush, you know, too many lockstepers. I don't know why you're so surprised about these guys calling in.
Oh, no, they're attacking me. They're calling me disloyal. They're telling me I'm making it easier for Obama. I heard the same thing in 2000 when I was tepid about George Bush versus Al Gore. I heard the same thing in 04 when I was tepid about George Bush versus John Kerry. But was I wrong about George Bush?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
not. All right.
Not.
Well, then I'm not wrong about John McCain. And it's going to take a year for the people to look back and say, you know what? Let me play what Michael Savage was saying in August and September of 08. And, you know, by God, I actually agree with him now. But they don't understand that now, that, Chad, they can't think the way you do.
You know,
all right. Thanks for the call. That's all. That's all. I still haven't had one call on the difference between the two parties. I'm still waiting. Look, one party hack after another is speaking now. People we never heard of. We never heard of these people. Now they have someone up from Hewlett-Packard who lost a fortune for the company. She's held up as a Republican role model. She would have been selected here. Lost a fortune for Hewlett-Packard. I guess that's a qualification. Wait a minute. What am I thinking? There she is. Carly Fiona, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard and McCain advisor, is now speaking. If you have enough money, you can be an advisor to presidents in this system. I suppose I could have bought my way into the political system if I'd wanted to, but I don't see it that way. So her calling card is that she lost a ton of money for Hewlett-Packard. Now that I think about it, that should qualify her to go to work for the Republican Party. Since they ran up greater deficits than any party in history, she ought to be Secretary of the Treasury. Bring up Carly Fiorina now, whatever.
You have heard the stories of John McCain's life.
Oh, no.
But consider just for a moment.
Oh, God.
How truly remarkable his life has been.
Turn it off. I've heard it already. I heard the story. And last night, salute to Ronald Reagan. I was eating spaghetti and shrimp. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. Maybe that's what did it. Watching the tribute to Ronald Reagan again. Ronald Reagan has as much John McCain and the Republicans today are as similar to Ronald Reagan as my dog is to a Great Dane. And I have a toy poodle. You know what I'm saying? I have a toy poodle and I really love him dearly, but he's not a Great Dane. No, I don't want a Great Dane. But the similarity, they're the same species. They're dog. They're both a canine. But they're not exactly the same dog. And that's what I'm trying to say about Ronald Reagan versus George Bush. They remember the same species called Republican, but they're not the same dog. Sacramento Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to point out the difference between Republican and Democrat. I'm 29 years old. I've been voting for 10 years. The only thing that I see in there is gun rights, abortion, and the cutting of taxes.
I agree 100%. Wait, hallelujah. I understand that if Obama becomes president, he could appoint the head of the ACLU to the Supreme Court. I understand what a disaster that would be for every one of those each of those issues. However, where does John McCain stand on the Second Amendment? Where does John McCain stand on abortion? And where does John McCain stand on taxes? I will bet you as I sit here, I can guarantee to every listener on this show right now that no matter who wins, we're going to have a major league tax increase to pay for this war. I can guarantee it.
I absolutely agree with you, Dr. Savage. And I also believe that he's putting Sarah Palin up as, you know, because she has the daughter or, you know, the kid with the Down syndrome, proving that she's pro-life and that's his facade there. It's all political and they all subscribe. I don't care, Democrat or Republican.
I don't care about the child. That's not an issue to me. People get pregnant, and God bless them if they have the child, okay, preferable to abortion, so that's a plus. That's not the issue. The issue is the armed forces of the United States of America is who's competent to be commander-in-chief. We see what happened with George Bush. Would you say George Bush was a competent commander-in-chief?
That's negative, sir. I was in George Bush's army in 2003 for the invasion of Iraq.
Thank you. George Bush is the most incompetent commander-in-chief in the history of this republic. He has turned on his own troops. He has permitted people who were innocent to be persecuted by hacks in the U.S. Marines, for example, with law degrees, and he's still persecuting them. This is not a commander-in-chief. This is a commander in grief. And this is a man, no less, who flew a jet in the National Guard. Now you're going to tell me someone who ran in a dog sled race is also competent to be a commander-in-chief?
It's a dog and pony show, sir, and I lived through it in the military, and it's the same. It's very similar in politics.
And yes, and I want to say this again. I want to say it over and over again. I want to say it until you finally hear me. Why couldn't George Bush have chosen a woman from the military who you never heard of, for example? Why didn't he just choose a woman? There are women generals, by the way, who are serving in Iraq right now who we never hear from. Even a woman colonel. There are women in the Air Force. There are women in the Air Force right now who fly. Competent women who fly jets, who are in the Strategic Air Command. Competent women generals, lieutenant generals at that level in the military who you never heard of. Why couldn't he reach out and pick one of them? And I'll tell you something. I'll go a step further. If I were advising John McCain, I would have told him pick a lieutenant colonel or above from the United States Air Force, a woman, and make certain that she's a lesbian. And you think I'm joking with you? I'm not joking with you. Because I could care less about her sexual orientation. I care only about whether or not she has the experience and the guts to run the U.S. military. That's my litmus test. And I'm sorry, the dog sledder doesn't pass that litmus test. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Savage Nation, political cross-dressing. It is good to live in interesting times. However, I don't know that these are interesting times as they are perplexing times. And Michael Savage is a radio show for the perplexed. But when the radio host himself becomes perplexed by the cross-dressing in the political arena, it becomes a problem for the audience. I recognize that. Now, there's only one good note about my emphasizing over and over again the inexperience of Sarah Palin, and that is this. The more I harp on Sarah Palin's inexperience to be commander-in-chief, the more she will be compared with Barack Hussein Obama, who has less experience than she does as an executive. And that's the good news. And so if you actually analyze what I've been doing, you'll come to understand that beneath every cloud there is a silver lining. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I'll go to the callers, if you don't mind. Let us go to Florida. Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. We listen to your program all the time, and I just want to say that there's a big difference, though, between someone who is perhaps qualified to be governor of a small population and educationally and otherwise to be vice president of the United States with a 17.
She would have been an excellent, let us say, interior secretary. Let's say she's a wonderful conservative and she's for drilling. I would have made her secretary of the interior. In the blink of an eye, she would have been a great secretary of the interior, right?
Right. I have one question, though. If the Republican conservative base, they are just that, conservatives, correct? They're not pro-choice. They're not for gays. They're not for this
right.
That. Why on earth did her daughter not get married 5 months ago?
I don't know. And if the daughter's an issue to everyone, why is it not an issue to the so-called family values conservative base?
She's not.
Where did they all of a sudden? They knew about her before I did, and they were all on board before I was. The Family Research Council, all the other good people were suddenly saluting her before I even heard of her. How did that happen?
Well, why didn't she say, even if she wasn't running for vice president, if she believed sincerely, which she seems like a nice girl, okay? An inexperienced,
yeah.
I mean, look at her. It's a joke. She looks like a little girl, okay? For her to be next to a 72-year-old man in this, with Iran and Iraq and North Korea and whatever. And she,
well, at least she'll be safe from sexual harassment with John McCain one door away. Let's look at it that way.
So the thing is that...
You hear what I'm saying? In other words, if it was Bill Clinton, she'd be unsafe in the White House.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
But with John McCain, there's absolutely no fear of sexual improprieties. That's for sure.
And I'm listening to the convention, and they're talking about his second term. The man will be... How old in his second term? 77 years old?
Methuselah is running. Already the second term he's running for?
Yeah, the second
term. Well, let me tell you, Susan, the statistics are such that... If he wins, and I hope he does, there's a high likelihood she'll be president within the first administration. High likelihood. You know, if you take a look at George Bush, the way he looked in 2000 and compare him now, you look at Bill Clinton in 92, the way Bill Clinton looked in 2000. Anyone who understands anything about the stresses of public life, understand what this position will do to any human being. I'm in talk radio, and it's, you know, very hard to do, let alone being political and having to go out every day and kiss babies and raise money and face all of these problems. I don't know how they do it. God bless them all. But here's a 72-year-old man who was dealing with problems. The stresses of being president are beyond anything anyone could imagine, and they're going to have a deep, deep effect upon him very, very rapidly, because the older you are, the faster the stress acts upon you, not slower. And so, therefore, it's highly likely he can become debilitated in office. Isn't that true?
True. I mean,
It's true. All right, so why am I harping on the, why did they pick this inexperienced woman? Because I'm worried about it. Not because I hate John McCain. Not because I think that Sarah Palin's a bad person. But because I am concerned about who's going to be running the United States of America if, God forbid, something, God forbid, should happen to the commander-in-chief. That's all. And why is that an irrational question? Why am I being vilified by the loyal base, who is saying I'm the one who's wrong for even asking the question?
Ron,
thank you for the call. I mean, well, okay. The times, they certainly are a change, and political cross-dressing is the issue. The two-party system is morally bankrupt. George Washington was right. Please read what George Washington said in my great editorial, Political Cross-Dressing, which can be found on the right side of michaelsavage.com. It's worth reading. You read other people's opinions. Read mine. It's right under that wonderful picture of my dog, Teddy, in psychological nudity. And I will say he'll probably get a movie deal faster than I will, because he's better looking than I am. And that's why he's in the picture. I figured that if you don't like me, at least you like the dog. That's about it for right now, ladies and gentlemen. I know what you're all waiting for. I'm waiting for it as well, which is the speech that will be heard by 40 million people. Think about that, the pressure on this poor woman. And you just know, and I just know what it's going to be. It's going to be filled with the greatest number of homilies in one speech ever heard before in history. But with God's willing listenership, I shall return.
Savage.